Hello, it's the Rendezvous Show, episode 18. This is part two of our interview with Aurora De Lucia. We left off on episode 17, where she was talking to us about her adventures on The Price is Right and winning a car. So we'll pick it up right from there. Part two. Hope you enjoy it.
I was so happy, and I don't know, I was feeling so many emotions all at once, because on the one hand, I thought, okay, I haven't gotten any in the money column yet, so that's great, and Right. And I thought, oh, it's probably not 17 or 18, because, you know, those I think were more meant for, like, the front of the car. Of Right. Course, it could have been some horrible trick, and they Right. Couldn't, you Right. Know, yeah, 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 yeah. But I wasn't thinking that at the time. So I thought, all right, so basically, I kind of have, you know, three numbers out of the way, and I think my chances are good, but then also just flying before my eyes were all the possibilities of me not winning the car. So I guess 96 is the last two numbers. Thinking, you know
like how places like to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those weird numbers. No, but that's probably the obvious one for there too. Oh yeah, people will guess 96 because Right. They think it's the end of the car.
But it was not the end of the car.
No, of course not.
But it was nice because they also, not only do they give you the car, they give you whatever money you got in the money column. So I got a $96 check from The Price is Right. But yeah, and then I don't know, my eyes were just like bouncing around, trying to figure out, like, you know, what's my lucky number? Like, what's a number that makes sense or whatever? Right. And then finally, it's silly because my lucky number is 3. And 19 was like third in the first row.
Oh, so you use that kind of math.
And I know, right? It's like total luck. This makes me sound not very smart because it doesn't sound very strategic. But then in the third row of the third column was number 52. And just for some reason, that number was like screaming at me. And somebody pointed out later, it's your number. You had just done 52 half marathons. You know, it's kismet. It makes so much sense. And then I was like, you know, it's like in this lucky spot. It's just yelling at me. I don't know why. So I just picked it. And it's weird because on the tape, I picked it with so much confidence. I just yelled out, like, 52. Like, that's it.
Like you knew. I know.
Of course, I had no idea.
But you did. Subconsciously.
But then that was it. That was the end of the car.
Oh, no. So you won the car.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you go to the showdown? Or was it spin the wheel? What?
Oh, man. I spun the wheel, and it was so... First off, it's funny because I was a big dork, and he always asked, do you want to say hi to anybody? And when he asked if I wanted to say hi to anybody, I just said some kind of thing about, like, I just want to tell everybody to believe in themselves.
There you go. It's like the Disney 52. It's why you want to finish it. You can wish upon a star in your dreams.
Yeah, but then I spun the wheel and it was like the little arrow thing was leaning on 95. It was so close, but it just didn't quite go there. Oh. So instead it only went to 50 and then I had to spin again.
That's a bummer place to be.
Yeah. Oh,
it was someone so ahead? Were you the first one to go?
I was the final person to spin.
Oh, so
I
you already, to... what was the number you had to beat? 55.
I know, right? I forget exactly what she had, but I knew it was more than 50 because I had to spin again. So I spun again, and then I went over by 5 cents.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's okay, you know, because, A, I have a car.
You've got a car.
Yeah.
And 4 camcorders.
Right.
And $96 in cash.
Exactly. So I got so much. And then, you know, I don't know, because I kind of feel like...
And your dream came true.
Right. And I mean, I feel like if you're ever going to get out on The Price is Right, that is the best time to do it. Because if you, like on the showcase, if you don't win your showcase, you can sit and dream for the rest of your life, like, oh, why didn't I say this or that? Like the girl who did make it into the showcase instead of me.
And lost.
She was over by $14.
Oh.
And in the prize room after
you want to hear that ding, 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 within 100. Is that how it is now? Because I remember it used to be, I haven't watched in a long time, it used to be like, if you're in the showcase, within $100, you win both of them.
Yeah.
And if you're, well, that's, you know, tap me, that was always the real dream. Like to have the one person go over and then you're like, you know, exactly on or within $2 and you win them both and you go, but if you hit it exactly in the other row too, right? If you beat exactly, you win.
Yeah, you win $500 from contestants' row. Yeah, so. But yeah, so I just kind of felt like...
You were close on that one.
Yeah.
And we're only true. 5 cents. And if you don't, you get like $10,000 or something if you hit the... Or $1,000 or something if you hit the 100 or you get a dollar.
Yeah, you get $1,000 if you hit a dollar.
2 cents.
And then, yeah, you get a
if
bonus
you hit, if you hit the exact dollar in the first one or something. Isn't that it?
If you get a dollar at all in your like first spins, whether you add it together or you get the actual dollar, you win $1,000. And then
the
on
bonus,
your bonus spin...
If you get in those like three... Colory, like there's like
yeah.
either side of the $1 or whatever.
Yeah, if you hit exactly a dollar, it's $25,000.
Not that bad.
And if you hit the green spots on the other sides of the dollar, 15 cents or 5 cents, you get $10,000.
Again, not so bad.
Yeah.
Not bad for. Is the wheel heavy?
It's pretty heavy, yeah. But I knew it would be because it always looks like it is so heavy.
I always look and I go, and you see people going, come on, really? Put a little back. I always think, how heavy can it really be? Because you see some people whip it around and other people are like, like, come on, put your back into it. Give it a little try. What did you think? This is like the thing on the Game of Life where you just spin it?
Well, more than anything, I was kind of afraid of slipping because I see people like falling all the time when they spin the wheel.
Right.
And I'm like, how slippery is that carpet?
Right.
But it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. I was like, yeah, no, I'm cool. I can hold my own on this carpet.
Good. So
yeah, my random story, my grandpa actually was on The Price is Right like 20 years ago or something, and he spun a dollar.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your family's got the in there. I don't think I can ever be on it because I have a friend who's really good friends with Drew Carey. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
So I did get to use his camera when we shot a video. I used one of his cameras. We were shooting a video together. I think we borrowed it. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
And I have actually a burger chef. From his show when he did the Drew Carey show.
Oh, cool.
My friend did props for him and he had an egg. He's like, oh, I have this. We were talking about the show. I'm like, oh my God, Burger Chef. Like, oh, I have a. We made them for the show because it was like a thing that Drew was trying to collect, like the big boy, Bob's big boy.
Uh-huh.
Is that kind of thing? Was a little, oh, it's the. I want one of those. And then he had to make them and he had them made and he had one. It's in my house now. It's like, it's pretty cool. The Burger Chef.
Oh, man.
From Drew Carey's show.
That's so awesome.
Actually, a lot of people I work with worked on that show. A lot of my, and they're currently on this show were like the. UPM and the producer and the people there all like work for Drew. So it's.
Aww,
when I was reading,
cool.
I was like, oh, I have all these weird connections. I keep running into it. I realize how it's such a small world that you can really. Everyone's interconnected if you look out just enough. But.
Yeah, it really amazes me sometimes how teeny tiny the world is.
Right. So you have a new car. What color is it?
It's like a dark blue.
Did you get to choose the color?
Yeah, I did actually.
Nice. So how does that work?
It was nice. The dealership called me a couple weeks before my show aired, and they said, "Hey, I heard you want a car, and The Price is Right." So you know, we have it basically. Or like, we're gonna have it. What color do you want?
So what was the split time between you were on? You taped the show and it went on the air because I know how television works, and a lot of people don't realize this, but you stuff gets taped in advance and then it comes out. And so I have to imagine that there was like. Everything was, you couldn't say anything about this.
Oh, I know, and it was killer. We taped on February 6th, and it aired on March 19th.
Wow.
And the whole time, all I wanted to do was tell everybody I'd ever known.
Yeah, I want a car. It was fun. I had fun.
I did just keep telling people, though, I was like, all I can say is just set your DVR for March
19th.
I bet
you said less than other people did. I bet you took it very, very serious. I'm sure there are people who don't take it as serious. They you know, they tell people stuff. Did you tell anybody?
I would never.
Whatever you actually did, that's the right answer for this.
Well, because it was so serious. You know, we find
all these papers.
And, yeah, like if you tell and we find out
we
or
take
if it goes
it
on
we'll
social
sue you,
media.
We'll go.
Yeah, exactly. And I was
I guess it's a bigger problem now with social media because people want to watch. I don't think people actually – I think most people who are watching The Price is Right probably aren't following tweets to find out who won on The Price is Right because they're excited about watching the show and it's the thrill of the whole experience. But still, I get it.
Yeah.
No, it happens all the time.
But it was actually kind of nicer, you know, that so many friends of mine found out just by watching instead of me telling them.
Well, didn't you have the wrong date, too? I thought.
Yes. Ugh. They originally, The Price is Right, told me March 18th, and then they bumped the show, but they, you know, I don't know. They sent us all an email, like, after
the
Price is
Right. Like a hurricane or some world crisis or something.
Actually, I think they didn't really say the reason why they bumped it, but the show they aired instead on the day they said they were going to air mine, some girl won, like, a Jaguar and her showcase, and it was an insane show. Wow. And so I think they kind of wanted to just start the week off, because it was a Monday. Yeah, so like, oh, let's show this, okay. I guess. I don't know.
I've never seen the Fridays back when I was a kid and watched it. It was the bigger day. But
yeah.
Or, I don't know. That was Bob Barker, so, you know. Different guys, different things.
Yeah, whatever reason they decided to do it, they sent me an email after The Price is Right had already aired on Monday, being like, by the way, it's airing tomorrow. And then I had to embarrassingly call everybody I knew.
So like, it wasn't today, but watch tomorrow.
And then, of course, everybody's like, yeah, how long is this charade going to last? We're sure, tomorrow.
So, but, I mean, I got the impression that you got down, like you got on the show, because watch, because who cares? Like, unless you did, like, they just interviewed. Well, they could have just gone, hey, hello, in the audience. I don't know if they do that, but it could have been.
Yeah.
52 weeks.
I mean.
You're a Marine, you know, whatever.
The thing is, like, because I was telling everybody to watch, it's like, that created more mystery than had I just been able to tell people what happened.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because since it was so secretive, and I was like, I'm not allowed to say anything. Everybody's like, oh, my God, you won both showcases, didn't you?
Right. That's what I was thinking first. Like, and then I'm like. And then it didn't seem, no, I didn't. And then it was, oh, but like, oh my God, you had a car. That's crazy. So do you still have the car?
I don't. I sold it almost immediately. Well, here's the thing. First off, I'm completely out of debt now. So, yay. I feel wonderful about that. But secondly, it's like, yeah, I had to pay $2,000 just to pick up the car in sales tax.
Right.
And then I will also have to pay federal and state tax on the value of everything that I won, which in total after the camcorders and whatever, it was a little over $21,000. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
Like almost like you had a job, but you,
you didn't. Exactly. So, you know, when you think about all the state and federal taxes that are going to come out of an extra $21,000 that you didn't pay any taxes on yet.
Thank goodness you didn't win both the showcases. You'd be like, holy cow, I have to actually... I'm going to a debtor's prison for a couple... Then I'll go on my vacation to Europe and ride my water thing.
Yeah, I know, right? When I thought about that girl who won the Jaguar, I was, you know, really happy for her. But I thought, like, oh, my God, unless she is rich, she's not even going to be
able
to
get a taxi. Which is what all the rich people mostly go to the Price is Right to try to get more stuff because, you know, they don't. Right. It's someone who's like, I don't have nothing. I want to win everything.
Right.
Now we're going to take my house because I won it. Like, all right, great.
But, you know, it's actually, it's cool because... Even, like, I always wanted to win a car because I always thought that was the coolest thing to win.
Sure.
But even when the car was revealed, I kind of just viewed it as a huge pile of money. I just wanted to get out of debt. I didn't necessarily want a car, you know, because I live in downtown LA. So trying to get home every night in Staples Center traffic when Justin Bieber's in town or the Lakers are playing.
Right.
That'd be so annoying when I could just take the subway. Like, I'm just really happy the way
Yeah, you are in a different part of LA than you're not. Like out in the middle of where you have to be in a car all the time.
Right.
Well, so that's good. Well,
yeah.
So you had the experience and you passed it out. Did you sell it to someone you knew or just list it somewhere? Or what did you do?
I was going to just drive it down to CarMax, but then after the show aired, my parents were like, we're going to have to buy that car.
good. So it's in the family?
Yeah.
Oh, so the car is, you can actually go drive the car you won.
Yeah.
You can go visit and drive the car you won, and they have the car my daughter won. And they don't have to tell anybody that they bought it from you.
Right.
So they can just say, well, she won this, and she gave us a car.
Yeah, it'll be our little secret that's out on this podcast.
Yeah, that's not really a secret. Yeah, well, no, but that's nice. That's great. So the car isn't just being smashed by somebody you don't know.
Right.
It's in the family, and, you know.
Yeah.
And you got what you wanted. You got that's great.
Yeah. I think my little sister is driving it right now. So
it sounds like you don't really you don't set your mind to do anything. You don't get out there and participate and you just sort of slough around in your life. Right?
Yeah,
no, that's not it. What's next?
Oh boy.
Yeah, this is pretty incredible. And I think we may be at this point, I think I'm over one thing, so I'm going to sort of split it between. We'll probably do, if you're listening to this now, you realize there's probably two episodes of this, because there's a lot to say.
I talk a lot.
But and you're really interesting. You were talking on there. I wish I had, because I still wanted to ask you about that, but let me ask you one more thing before we go on this. So when you were running, you were running for a cause. You were raising money.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot, I kind of glossed over that because we sort of transitioned, but. But it was kind of unusual, I thought, and I understood some of your your fundraising thoughts about it. But fundraising is a hard thing to do. I've done stuff for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which, you know, I've had a couple of people in my family die from that, a lot of people I know. There's a lot of people who do that. You had this heart thing, but you didn't run for heart stuff.
Yeah, I ran for Broadway Impact, which is a charity supporting marriage equality. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, people told me that maybe I should run for heart stuff, but I just kind of felt like, I mean, I had such a super weird, rare congenital heart defect that it's like, it's not even really something that I could have specifically run for that. I mean, I know I could have run for heart-related stuff, mm-hmm. but not my specific thing because they, you know, it's like once they find it, they already know what to do about it. I mean, if anything needed to change about it, really, it would just be...
Go get checked.
Right, yeah, like young people getting EKGs, because usually people don't get EKGs until they're like 50.
And this is something that would affect you, that if you're young, you know, you wouldn't get old before you went through your normal EKG, it would already have wiped you out, so...
Yeah, I mean, they said that I would have been lucky to live to 30, and they were like... You know, they were basically just like, you wouldn't have made it to 30, period.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if you can ever really officially say something like that because...
They're probably a good rough, you know, give or take.
Yeah.
30 in 4 days or 29 and a half, 32. You know, we're talking... Yeah,
so... Right. So, I mean, I think the reason why people don't get EKGs is because it is so rare that it's like, well, how many people would we really save? But also, I don't know how expensive EKGs are. Like, if it's not that expensive to do them, maybe we should try to save everybody. But, yeah, but so there's not really a charity that, like, you know...
I mean, you can do them at your doctor's office.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, my doctor does it, and I just go for a regular checkup every once a year. And so you probably should. Go get an EKG, kids. Tell your mom you need an EKG.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to save some lives here today. Silly that we live in a world that doesn't recognize equality yet. And I'm, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's so, such an important issue. And I think it's really important to treat all human beings equally, you know, whether it's like the LGBT community or women or
PAs.
Yeah. Like, you know, some people fall into all three of those.
Right.
You know, it's just like,
I know what it is, and I think most people do. Just to be clear, marriage equality, you're talking about gay marriage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And I believe in Broadway Impact a lot because it's kind of like a grassroots organization, and it's run by two Broadway performers and one of their really good friends who's kind of the business person. And I don't know, I just, like, Rory O'Malley, who is one of the Broadway performers who runs it, mm-hmm. I've kind of met him a few times at different theater things, and he's such a nice guy, and it's great when you meet him because you can just see how passionate mm-hmm. he is, and he kind of spreads that passion. I mean, honestly, it was because of him that I went to my first rally in support of marriage equality, and so, and then, you know, that kind of took off, and from that rally, I met people, and then I went to phone banks, and okay. I was just like, you know... It's like, if this guy can inspire me so much, he can keep inspiring everybody. And I like that Broadway Impact, too. It doesn't really seem like one of those charities that has a lot of overhead. I feel like most of the money that I'm giving is actually going to doing work and doing stuff.
Sure.
So, yeah, so I felt good about them, and I felt good about the cause. And I was like, if I'm going to raise money, let's make it this.
Okay. And did you raise a lot of money for it?
In the end, I only raised about $6,000. It was an interesting...
That's not bad.
I mean, it's not bad.
Well, for 50... But I know, it's like... 50,
but yeah, it's like for so many races.
Right. No, I did two, and I got about 8,000. Well, but, you know, people go, oh, my grandmother died. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you said that's what you were raising money for, there's two things that goes to through my mind. I was thinking about this when you're doing your blog post, and I don't want to respond there for everybody, but I would say this, is that when you're doing this, when you're, like... I think it's also... It goes for me for when I see people doing stuff for, like... animal charities. It's a similar thing. People, I think in this country often, don't mind contributing to charities, and everyone has this level of what's a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really dependent. Like, and the more dramatic and impactful, like cancer, like everybody, I think almost everybody knows someone who's been affected by cancer now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing you're doing was so controversial.
So controversial. Because I had had a number of people who told me, you know, like,
going to go to hell or something.
Well, no, a little, but you know, I had some people tell me, you know, I believe in you, or like, I love what you are doing in general with like trying to bring running more into the public consciousness. However, I don't believe in this and I can't give to your charity. And it was just like, ugh. And I, you know, it's like, I guess, you know, I don't know, people believe whatever they believe. And, but yes, it was very hard because it was so controversial. And it's funny because when you, you know, mention about like things that don't necessarily affect us personally, because what's interesting to me is I just feel like this in some way kind of does affect all of us personally, sure, in the sense that it affects the world we live in, you know, because it's not just about marriage specifically. It's about, you know, the way that we treat others, because a lot of gay people are bullied, basically, and mm-hmm. a lot of that is because as a society and in the media, we don't always say that, you know, people of different sexual orientation are, like, are the same as us when it comes to other things, right. You know, like if we're putting them down in the media or in other places, or if, you know, our freaking laws are saying, right, like, you are not equal to me, then of course impressionable people or people who, I don't want to say maybe don't know better, because I don't want to be talking down, right, about anybody, but it's like some people are then going to view that as like
licensed, oh, to.
Yeah, it's like, well, if they're not equal to me, therefore I am better than, because right, I have more right, rights. Exactly. And if I am better than, therefore I will bully. And it's, you know, I just feel like it's this horrible cycle. So if we start making changes and we start making laws so that we are all equal, then maybe we can also have a more equal and tolerant and patient world in general. Well, if anybody's listening and wants to give in the future, sure, BroadwayImpact.org, you can check them out, because they do a bunch of great stuff. You know, they organize like trips to Washington, D.C. for rallies, and they organize phone banks and stuff when it's time to call, when we have to get our senators on board for things.
Yeah,
and, you know, yeah, I mean, they do a lot. They really, what I love, one of the things I love about them is that I feel like they really try to make it so that people take action, because I feel like nothing is really going to happen if you don't have your own army of people doing stuff. Like, right, you can raise money all day, but if,
well, that's like the big problem in our country just in general right now is, yeah, getting people to be participants,
mm-hmm,
like to participate in our society, to participate in our government. I mean, what's going on with just how the workforce and what's going on, this, you know, the rich keep getting rich and the poor, and it's not about rich or poor, who doesn't deserve money, but the reality was there was a time where we were working together as a society, and, you know, if we're thinking of ourselves as a group, like we're all here and we all need to take care of each other, I think it'll, if our mindset becomes, as we, if we shift ourselves and get our mindset to be, we need to take care of each other, that it won't be as much of an issue. All these things will become less of an issue, because instead of going, what's me, mine, and I'm not just talking about money and resources and how we live and who's right and who's wrong, or just a political fiasco that's going on where everyone's just not doing anything because they just want to. They're not so much for anything as against you. Like, I'm not for me, but I'm against you so much that I'm not going to do anything. And, you know, our society gets better if we go, you know, we're all in this together. We need to take care of each other. We gotta look at everybody as part of the team. You start doing that, people act differently all over, and you less need to go do this or raise the money to do it, because we're just taking care of ourselves anyway. Mm-hmm. It becomes a non-issue.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. No, so that's good. But you raised $6,000. That's good. You got it.
Yeah. I mean, and I had never really done a huge fundraising push for anything, really. I mean, you know, in elementary school, I did those jogathons or whatever, where basically your parents just right. ask everyone they
your
work
parents
with.
Parents ask for people, like, give me $5 so she gets a T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. But I had never really done anything like that. And really, last year was kind of my first foray into kind of, but like the whole, I don't know, internet, digital media, like right. social media. I had never had Twitter. I had just started my blog. So I think, you know, obviously there were a lot of things that kind of made it harder that we've already talked about, controversial right. topic and stuff. But it also, I think, was harder just because I was flying by the seat of my pants when it came to everything. Right. You know, I was trying sure. to, like, how do I blog? And, like, trying to keep that up. And, like, oh, what do I say on Twitter? And you know, since I didn't really have a following at the beginning, not that I have a huge following now or anything, sure. but yeah, it was just hard because also I didn't know all the strategies for fundraising and any
time. Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean,
yeah.
The nice thing I do when I do the stuff I do with LLS is that there's they were on the first running charity run things, and so they've figured it out. And there's webinars and seminars and people, they really work you through because it is hard to do in general.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's so hard to, you know, because sometimes people throw a karaoke thing or a Super Bowl party right. or something to try to raise money, but it's hard to plan any of that when you're already trying to somehow do your 52
yeah,
half
really.
Marathon.
Yeah, really. You're right. Yeah, yeah, no. Man. You needed like a coordinator to do your, you needed a fundraising coordinator. But yeah. You know, hey, you did, you know what? You added an element to what you were already doing, which was a really cool thing. So,
yeah.
You know, in your blog, you were blogging about it all and doing all that. And, you know, I think I mentioned to you, but, you know, have you thought about doing like a book?
I would love to do a book. Well, thank you. I don't know. I guess it's just a matter of like
you could. You have a lot of the basis of it. You, I mean, I would going over your stuff. You could pull down what you blogged about,
uh-huh.
and then just like you know tighten that up and edit it and bring it all together. I think you have a book there.
Oh well, thank you so much. Yeah.
Especially now with self, you know, put it on a Kindle, put it out and self-published through Amazon. You can have it printed or done. And people just order on demand. And you can. You've done a lot of the heavy lifting. Now you need a little editing and shape it a little bit more because it's a little different format than that. But I mean, you got a great story.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I would love to write a book if for no other reason so that maybe someday I could be on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart talking about my book.
You probably could.
Yeah, well, somebody call him up if you're listening. Tell him to call me.
Write the book. Get the book together.
That's a good point. I got to have the book.
Get the book out next week, and then you could probably pull it down, edit it up, be on Amazon in 24 hours, you'd be done.
Yeah, I don't know. It's people have said before that I should write a book, which is a very sweet compliment, but I'm always like, oh, I don't know. Would anybody read it? And how do you even do that self-publishing thing? But yeah, it's funny because I always talk about how fear is the worst emotion because it keeps people, from doing things. And it's like, well, if the only reason why I'm not putting this into book form is because it's scary or because it's unknown, like, might as well just do it. And then if nobody downloads it, I'll just have my own little book.
You print one out for yourself and send it to your family. Hey, here's what I got you for Christmas, a Kindle version of my book. Hey, isn't that great?
Yeah, exactly.
It's an easy way to do it. You just give it away for free. That's one of the things they do now. There's a lot of stuff. I can talk to you about it later, but there's a lot of ways you should think about it. Yes, you've got a body of stuff. You do have an interesting story that happened.
Oh,
this 52 and 52, you know, add that stuff and the prices. Well, we just talked about today. This is a summary of the book. So read the book and get the details. All the details. So what's next? You've done all these great things. So what are you going to do next?
Oh, boy. All right. I'm really excited about what's next, but it's a long road. I really want to be an altruistic living kidney donor.
You just don't do anything simply, do you? I'm sure your parents go, can't you just like go to Hawaii?
I mean, a little bit. They're
2 weeks
like,
in Europe or something.
Well, but you know, they've been dealing with me my whole life.
So they know what you're like.
Yes, they're pretty much.
Oh my God.
Yeah, at this point when I say something, they're just kind of like, all right, yeah, that's you.
That's pretty much my cousin was.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, actually, she's a nurse, anesthetist, and she did this years ago for a friend of hers.
Oh, wow.
I actually know someone who did it. It's like, I found out about it. It blows me away. That's an amazing, amazing thing you can do for somebody. But they just did it on the Big C. They had the character who was doing
Yeah?
It's like one of the things. It's funny. Perhaps it's the new it's the new Twitter. give a kidney. But what made you... decide this?
Well, so I first kind of learned about it and the possibilities of it a while ago. I mean, probably in 2011. But back then I was still close enough to my heart issue. I was still kind of within a year of it and doctors didn't really want to deal with me. And I kind of thought, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I'll wait a little while. That's fine. But I mean, the reason why I really want to do it is because I just feel like I very personally know kind of what it's like to be in and out of the hospital all the time and to have the hospital basically run your life and to really make decisions for you based on what kind of jobs you can take or if you can ever take a vacation or anything like that. And so I just kind of felt like, you know, and it was like doctors freed me from that and the idea that I could maybe help free somebody else from that kind of life and give them, I mean, freedom, basically, even though I've already said the word free a bunch. It just kind of makes me feel kind of like I'd be passing it on or just really helping out, basically. So
yeah, I imagine. But yeah. I mean, is this you had this open heart surgery? So you don't. But that was just that was like surgery that corrected a defect. So are you okay to don't? I mean, I know some people have certain kinds of conditions and they're disqualified from doing this because it'd be so much more risky.
Right. Yeah. I mean, mine was just they basically just cut off something extra on my heart that wasn't supposed to be there. It wasn't like I had any valve problems or anything.
Or like you
that.
Need like a trans. It was like a transplant or something. You're on some sort of drug that you know. Okay.
Well, right. Yeah. I haven't been on any medications basically since they let me out of the hospital.
Oh, okay. So, that's good.
Yeah. So it's great. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it definitely, cause I've been looking into giving kidney and doing the whole process and stuff. And so it was something that they kind of talked to me about at first, the doctors being like, well, we're obviously going to have to clear your heart issue and stuff. But then in the end, you know, I have a cardiologist out here and he was just kind of like, oh yeah, no, you're healthy. You're great. I'll write a letter to whoever I need to. You are fine to give your kidney.
That's wow. I mean, that's gotta be an ordeal though. I mean, they don't just let you go give your kidney.
Yeah, it's a huge ordeal. It is a huge ordeal, and it's really frustrating because all of the parts of the ordeal that make sense are fine with me. Like, I had about three months of various testing.
Make sure your kidney's good.
Yeah, it's like you...
Oh, you gave me a bum kidney. Are you alcoholic? What am I going to do with this?
Yeah, you have to get your blood taken a lot. To pee in a lot of cups.
The kidney's good for it.
Right, exactly.
It's working. Yeah, it's good. We didn't even test. We throw it out. We're just seeing if it works.
Yeah. Not doing
anything with it.
Yeah. You have to get, I think it's a CAT scan where they kind of look at your kidneys and just make sure that they look great and stuff.
That stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
There's got to be psychological testing, though, too, don't they?
Yeah. This is
well,
the
they want to make sure a crazy person wants to give away all their body parts for no good reason, like kill me on the table so I can sue a doctor.
Right. Well, and I understand that as well, but I think, like, the part that, I don't know, I just remember my interview with the social worker was one of the last things that happened. And she just, it was so funny because I kind of felt like I was on a reality show almost. Because on those, it's like they try to tire you out and they try to, you know, like they don't feed
you
for
down.
A while.
Right.
And yeah, wear you down so that you'll be as emotional as humanly possible. Sure. So our thing started really early in the morning and I didn't get to eat because of certain tests I had to have done that day. And
yeah, you're cranky. And yeah. They want to see if you're going to flip out.
Right. And they make you meet individually on that day with all the different people involved, like the nephrologist, the surgeon, the like donor advocate, all these random people,
right.
and you're basically saying the exact same thing to all of them.
And
yeah,
the last person is the one that's going to see if you crack.
Right, and the last person was the social worker.
And the first question is going to be like, so why do you want to do this? It's crazy.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. I mean, I felt like all my reasons made so much sense, but it just seemed like she didn't really like anything I had to say. Like, for one thing, she asked, she said, so, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you are just going to run out of here and never see us again, and 10 being you are ready to go on the operating table tomorrow. Like,
right.
Yeah. And then I was all, you know, I'm like a 9 or 10. I'm ready to do this. But that's because by the time I had seen the social worker, I'd already had, you know, kind of 3 months of testing. I'd already gotten this huge pamphlet of all the information.
I think they want you to say like 7.
She was like, well, I like people to be at a 5. And I just kind of thought, after I've had all this information, all this time, you guys have given me
You're too eager to give up your kidney.
Well,
you should be somewhat hesitant. No, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but like, I get it. Like, most people will go, even if you really want to do this, like my friend, my cousin did it for someone she knew.
Yeah.
It's like, people get that one, like, oh, your son's going to die, you're giving me a kidney. Like, there's no psychological craziness. There's like, you don't even know these people. What are you doing?
I mean, I kind of get it, but I feel like you should be somewhat.
Say 7 next time.
Well, I just feel
because that seems I'm enthusiastic, but not a but you know, but well, it's scary. You know, they want you to think you're more scared than you are. She never obviously didn't run 52 marathons in 52 weeks or.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I just feel like.
You just talk about bungee jumping. I know you're someone's like, I think that would make me, that alone, if you mentioned that in the interview, would go, I'm not sure if we're going to take her kidney. She may be crazy.
Well, I mean, but honestly, I feel like for if anybody was at a five, like she wanted them to be, I just kind of think that would be silly because they had already given us so much information. And at the beginning of Big Kidney Day is kind of what I called it, like because everybody who is considering giving kidney all comes in at once, and then they start with an education.
You play like Uno session. Or something in a
meeting. Yeah, exactly. They start with an education session with. Everybody, you know, comes in and talks all about the surgery. It's like every question you could possibly have is completely answered. Not to mention that it had already been answered by a video and a paper version of everything you could possibly want to know. And we have the internet.
Okay.
So, you know, so I just felt like at that point we had so much information. And it wasn't like we just came in and signed up that day. As I said, we'd already been doing this testing kind of for a long time and already been talking back and forth with the hospital for a long time. So I just feel like, if somebody came in and said they were a five, I'd be like, what else do you need to know? Why are you so indecisive? Like, get more towards one into the scale.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if somebody had said they were like a two and they were just like, I can't do this. I've found out way too much that I don't want to know. That would make sense to me.
Okay.
But I don't know. For her to just want me to be so, like, in the middle and I mean, I get what you're saying, that maybe a seven would have been better.
Yeah, it was like, I'm enthusiastic, but not crazy.
But also, I think that
like,
maybe,
you think of, I mean, if they said, if in the next 2 weeks, then you said 10, I'd be, but if you said, like, be ready today, like, I don't know. That's, like, really, like, ready. Like, I don't know, today?
I think she really meant in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, she said today, though. I'm just saying, this is, you got to listen to those words. Especially psychologists, and they're trying to trick you. They're out to get you.
They really are.
They are.
Well, because it was funny, too, because when you mentioned me being, you know, like, adventurous or crazy, she was talking to me a little about my life and the 52 half marathons, and she seemed kind of bothered by all of that, too.
Why would, yeah, really, it is. Like, anybody who's never run would never get it. Even people who ran really have a hard time getting it, because you're like, holy crap, that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I don't know, and she just kept telling me, like, she's like, you know, when you're older, you won't even be able to believe that you did these 52 half marathons. And she's like, and maybe if you give a kidney, then when you're older, you'll be like, I can't believe I ever gave a kidney. But I just kind of, I didn't really.
Sounds understand. Like your life sucks, lady. don't put that on me.
Yeah, I didn't understand what she was saying, really. Because
like, I have regrets. Let me just tell you, girl, I have regrets.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know, because people are constantly evolving and changing. Sure. And I'm sure that when I'm, you know, 70 years old, I'm probably going to be different from who I am now.
Probably get two new kidneys because they're giving them away to someone else. Okay, they got to do this, and you don't even need to give them. I had to go through all that, and now they just have the 2 years later, they came with the insertable cartridge that just fixed it.
Yeah.
Replacement, disposable, Duracell kidneys. Or
yeah, but what's going to be great is then when they have those
maybe
cartridges.
Brita,
you know,
maybe Brita. Brita kidney cartridge.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I mean, I just, but even if I'm like a slightly different person, because we're all always changing, I hope I'm never the kind of person that's like, oh, I can't believe I helped somebody. Like, I can't believe I gave a kidney to somebody
son
who needed it.
Find out to become a bank robber. They were about to die, but then they got the kidney and became a new bank robber and shot up a school.
Well,
oh my God! Like, oh, I'm sorry. No, let's uncurse that. We don't want that. That'd be horrible.
Yeah. Well, actually, some people brought up some good points when I was thinking about giving a kidney. Well, I don't know if good points, but some points of just like, what if the person is
Hitler? Right?
Yeah.
You're Hitler. They would have been dead, but you gave a kidney. And you go down in history as, you know, your name. Like, oh, she gave the kidney.
I know, right?
And it become a new name for. You know, whatever, something bad. Like yeah. Mudd, like Dr. Mudd, who helped, you know, what's his name? John Wilkes Booth.
Oof.
He treated Booth, and now your name is Mudd. You know, Mudd is horrible. Like,
yeah, I mean, and it, of course it is, you know, I mean, I guess there is like part of you that maybe thinks like, oh, that would be awful.
Like, that's just a way to think about everything. What if the worst thing ever possible could happen all the time?
Right. But
that's one way to go through life, I suppose.
Yeah, but of course I want to believe in the goodness of people. And right. And also the other thing is like, when I, because if you want to be a kidney donor, you can, of course, choose who you want to give to. Or you can just be completely altruistic and just tell the hospital, like, hey, I have two kidneys. I only need one to live. Like, just give it to somebody, but you don't ever have to find out. And when I was really thinking, like, okay, because there's this website called matchingdonors.com, I think. Maybe it's .org. I think it's .com. Anyway, it is, like, the saddest website you will ever go on.
Oh, my God.
Because it's all these people who need kidneys.
I'm going to die. Help me.
Yeah, and they're, like, you know, and they're telling you in the most sad and dramatic ways, like,
oh, like, so you can choose them?
So you can choose them, yeah.
It's just like some sort of weird dead puppy thing. It's like,
yeah.
There's probably some. That's interesting. What's it called?
Matchingdonors.com, I think. Wow. Yeah. And go ahead.
Let me just ask you this. Are you on the bone marrow donor list?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, good. I was going to say, easy swab. I'm on that. Like, they probably won't take mine, but like, heck, you know, if you're going to do this, give blood and do that.
Definitely. Right, yeah. And so.
Are you a rare blood type?
No, I'm just O positive.
Me too.
Oh, woo, great.
There you go. Go O.
Yeah. Well, we're, you know, almost the universal donor. Right. O negative. Most, is like, yeah.
My mom, I think, is O negative. She can give.
Yeah. But, so when I was trying to decide, like, okay, do I want to pick the person or do I want to be completely unaware of who the person is? Yeah, it's like, I think it's kind of an interesting choice to make because if you pick the person, then you'll actually, well, first off, you can guarantee that you at least pick somebody who you think is an air quotes good person, whatever that means.
Of course, if they are the bad person, then it's your fault.
That's true. But then it's like.
You sign a little thing, well, and if you turn into an asshole, I'm going to take it back.
Well, when I was trying, because at first I tried to do it that way and I tried to pick somebody, but then I started feeling so weird about it because I'm like, who am I to be judge and jury?
Maybe you should have them all, like, pick like four of them, like finalists, like the Price is One. Have them bid. Do like a Price is Right thing. Come on down. You might get a kidney. What is, oh, you didn't do the yodeling thing. Oh, you went over the side of the mountain. Sorry.
That sounds like such a sad show.
That sounds like a great YouTube video, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm giving up a candy. Come on out with the Price is Right.
Yeah. But in the end, I just kind of felt like I didn't.
Oh, they overbid by $1. Oh, so close. You almost would have lived.
Oh, so sad. But yeah, it was just like, I don't know. It was, I just kind of felt like everybody has a past. Everybody makes mistakes. And I don't think it's my job to decide, like, who is worthy. I think it's Yunos' job. They know, sure, like, who's most deserving. So in the end, I decided I would rather just be completely, just give to a stranger and call it a day. And then that way, it's like, it's nice because at night, you can just cuddle up with your dreams and think to yourself, like, this person is living a great life and they're hiking Kilimanjaro. Right. And, like,
okay.
And they might not be, but you can always believe that they are.
Sure. Or, but you can just say, I'll follow up on you and I'll hunt you down and kill you if you turn into a bad person. So do the right thing.
But what's really annoying if you want to be an altruistic donor is that then you have to see, like, an extra social worker. Oh, and right now I'm in my 3-month cooling off period. They give you, like, a cooling off period.
And they give you a handgun and a 6-pack and go, well, you can go shoot stuff and see just how you react. What are you going to do with this?
Yeah. So, well, it's really funny, speaking of handguns, that you have to have a 3-month cooling off period before you can give someone a kidney that they need to live.
But you can buy a gun tomorrow.
Exactly.
You kill someone who needs a kidney.
I get America.
America. Love them. I do love America. That's why I love you. What other country can you fight about shit that is important to you and or do things like this? That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I could keep going on forever. And though I think we're the amount of time we spent, it's amazing. Maybe we'll do it again and talk about more. Cause I have a feeling that you're going to continue to have adventures.
I hope so.
Your adventures are going to be interesting cause you are interesting.
Well, thank you.
One of the things I do want to say is, I want you to tell us your website and your Twitter. And so people who can, you know, follow up on you and follow along, because you do post about what's going on. So if someone wants to know, hey, what happened with her and her kid, it's going to be on the website. It's going to be on your blog. It is.
Yeah.
I get the email subscription, so I get it.
Awesome. So my website is aurorasblog.com, and my Twitter is @aurorasblog, and I love Twitter. So please tweet me anytime, all the time.
Perfect. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for
having
me.
Maybe it's 2 days. Because I think we got enough for a couple episodes by the time we're listening to this. But and it seems that even though we lost that first pass, it still worked out.
Yeah,
we're
okay.
Great. It went really good.
Yeah.
And I want to say to everyone, thanks for listening. Go to the website. You can go to rendezvousshow.com. And you can find out more. We'll have some links to Aurora's blog and her Twitter as well. You can follow Miss Aurora at Rendezvous Show is the Twitter. On Facebook, and you can go to SoundCloud and Spreaker, or usually launch to the top. Just search for